Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor, supporting women in healing mother wounds through women's circles and through the one-on-one 10-week program. To know more about these offerings, you can check out my website, womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. And also, we have a membership coming up. This is a new offering that has not been there before, and it's going to come up early new year. So if you want to know more, to get more information about this, sign up to the newsletter. The link is in the description of the episode, and I'm going to send more information about this new offering that I'm super excited to bring to you. Now, let's talk about the episode and the topic of today. I recently received an email of a listener asking about secrecy. She was wondering if secrecy can be connected to narcissistic behavior, as she has experienced her mother being secretive in a few different ways. And yes, secrecy can definitely be used by a narcissistic mother as a manipulation tactic and as a way to keep control over her children. When we talk about secrecy, we refer to the practice of hiding information from others and not to the simple fact of being private. And in the case of a narcissistic mother, the hiding of information is tactical and serves a purpose for her. Now, there are a couple of different ways a narcissistic mother can use secrecy as a manipulation tactic. Reason why I'm going to break this topic in two episodes. So today, I want to talk about her personal secrecy. Does your mother want to know everything about you but is reluctant to share about herself? Does she frequently deflect questions about herself, constantly turning the conversation around? Does she give half facts and contradicting information when you ask about her? Or maybe she constantly wants to talk about herself, but when you actually ask information that you need for something, she suddenly becomes very private. And does that frustrate you to no end? And I get it if it does. It can for sure be very frustrating behavior, and also a hurtful one too. Because you may think, why would my own mother not want to tell me things? And I get that. It's fair enough. And it can also be confusing, because when you research maternal narcissism, you may hear a lot about how a narcissistic mother is self-absorbed and constantly talking about herself, or how she can use her daughter as a confidant, for example, and tell her everything. And yet, you may have observed this secretive behavior in your own mother, causing you to wonder, what's that got to do with narcissism? Like the listener who asked about this, who, by the way, I want to thank for asking such an important question. And your questions are always super welcome because they bring richness to the podcast. They bring new topics and they get me to go dig deeper and even deeper. So thank you so much for that. So it is fair enough to wonder if secrecy has something to do with narcissism. And as I say, it definitely does. And to understand how and why, we need to understand that the game of a narcissistic mother is always to control and to meet her own needs. One of which is attention. Getting you emotionally reactive is a sure way to get your attention and therefore to get her needs met. By being very dismissive or avoidant of your questions and by being secretive, she gets that attention because she gets you emotionally reactive in one way or another. What is the most natural reaction when someone is being dismissive of a question? To ask again, right? I mean, that's especially if you're trying to make conversation, if you're trying to get something going, a conversation going, and you're asking a simple question and the person is kind of avoiding it and not really fully giving you an answer and leaving you like, you're gonna wanna ask more. Especially, obviously, with your mother, which you may actually need those information. There can be reasons why you're asking. So, and what happens when you keep asking and she still isn't fully answering? You get frustrated. Maybe you keep asking, then you get hurt, and then you keep asking more, and then you keep giving her attention, which is what she wants. And if you slow down and actually take a moment when you notice that this starts happening, okay, you pay attention to the way she dismisses your questions, you will notice that she never sets a clear boundary like a private person would do. There's nothing wrong in being private, and everyone has the right to choose what they want and not want to share with others, even a mother with her own daughters. There are things that are private to myself and I don't necessarily need to share with my daughters, and that's okay. Privacy is important. But in that case, one can politely set a boundary and be very clear about, okay, this is not something I want to share with you, but without being hurtful, and especially being clear. That's the main difference, is being clear, because anyone can respect a clear, okay, no, all right, you don't want to talk about that, that's fine, like, I can get that, that's okay. But when we're talking about secrecy as a manipulation tactic to get attention, things are different. The answers you may get will be unclear, confusing, possibly leaving you wondering if you should insist or if you should drop it, what's the best thing to do, and with the hidden agenda of prompting you to ask more. Like, for example, a simple, how are you? Which is like one of the most normal ways to start a conversation, whether it's a visit, a phone call, or whatever. It's very natural, right? You just go, oh, how are you? And the answer, in this case, from a secretive narcissistic mother, could be, not well, but nothing to concern you with. So by stating she's not well, with no further details, she has clearly stirred your concern. Although she's saying nothing to concern you with, but of course you're gonna be concerned. So the next natural impulse is to ask more, like, what do you mean with not well? Of course I'm concerned. And again, she can be more dismissive and bring you around in loops. Or you could ask a very simple, hey, what have you been up to? And the answer could be, oh, nothing much. And then a pause. Oh, if only we had more time to talk. So, okay, clearly she has been doing something because she wants more time to talk. You're actually there to talk, but she's not telling you what you've asked. So again, she's prompting you to ask more. Now, these are just very, very, very simple examples. And you will have your own version of it if this is something that your narcissistic mother does. The main point is to understand the game, to notice the pattern, to notice when the answer she gives or she gives you is phrased in a way that you feel the impulse to ask more, to ask another question. That is a way to get you sucked into an emotional roller coaster to feel her tank, likely leaving you drained, hurt, and frustrated in the process. On top of not answering your conversational questions, she may be quite insistent in wanting to know absolutely everything about you, and you may have noticed how intrusive this can be. Again, it may be confusing, as you might have a lot of information on narcissistic mothers, on how they're self-absorbed and always talk about themselves. And that is definitely an aspect. Now, narcissism has a lot of different variations to it, and also a narcissist will use lots of different techniques or tactics when it suits them at different times. So it mightn't be a consistent behavior all the time. But yeah, so wanting to always talk about herself is definitely an aspect, but there's also the need for ammunition, okay? The more information she has about you, the more control she can have over you. Being the person who knows all about you gives her the role of confidant, for example, of like the mother that is your best friend, the role of the one person you need and you can talk to about your problems. And by doing that, it gives her plenty of information to weaponize in manipulating ways later on at different moments. In the same way, her secrecy about herself can be a way to maintain control. The less you know about her, the less you can use against her, which of course is not your intention when you ask a simple, how are you? But we tend to see the world through the filters of our subconscious and of our perceptions. And she may very well feel that she would do that based on the fact that she does. And also, the more information she gives you about herself, the more she can give you to defend yourself when she is using some of your information against you. So it's like a war of information here. Like, the more you tell her, the more ammunition you give her. And if she tells you her own things, then you can use those to defend yourself. And moments where she's pointing the fingers at you, when she's blaming you, where she's telling you that whatever. Again, this has a multitude of variations, and it very much depends on the way your narcissistic mother behaves, on the way conversations go with her. Usually, I've seen that happening in multiple ways, but information when we're dealing with a narcissist is like a precious thing. She won't want to give it as easily. I've noticed how with some members of my family, which is full of people with narcissistic tendencies in one way or another, even the people that I thought I knew the best, so I thought I had the most information about, actually, I've come to realize that the information I've been fed and given are always, they're tactical. There's an agenda to it. And again, it may be a subconscious game. They may be aware of it. There's different degrees, and that depends. But definitely, yeah, you think they're giving you something that's really private, but actually there's a reason they're saying that while they're hiding something else, and they're being secretive about something else. And this just, it's like if you try to get to understand it and to really just know why they're doing, and you get sucked into that, that is like a maze and you're never gonna come out of it. So with all this said, so she can be secretive to keep you sucked into a conversation. She can be secretive to get your attention, get you frustrated, get you to ask more questions. She can be secretive because she's kind of trying not to give you information for you to use against her or to defend yourself. So there's different reasons why this can happen. But what is your number one solution? Because that is really the most important thing, isn't it? What can you do to stop this manipulation game that leaves you frustrated, hurt, dysregulated, drained, and exhausted? As always, the first thing is becoming aware of the game. And you are on it as you're listening to this episode now. So, step one completed. Now, a lot of manipulation that goes on with a narcissistic mother is based on being subtle and difficult to spot. And that's why I'm saying knowing the game is really, really important. Because once you know it, then you can defend yourself. But once you know the game, your number one solution to get out of it is to stop asking questions. Simple as that. And I know that is easier said than done, but that's it. I don't actually even ask, "How are you?" anymore to some key family members. And if I'm told something like, "What? Are you not even asking me how I am?" I will say something like, "If you would like to tell me, I'm listening. But if you don't, that's okay too." And then I go about my business, whatever that is. When your mother uses secrecy as a manipulation tactic, her agenda, as subconscious as it may be, is to get you to ask more questions, to keep you engaged. That's how she gets your attention. When you ask more questions, you are, first of all, showing interest, which fuels her secrecy as manipulation. It's like, okay, this is working. I'm not giving her information. I'm being all secretive about it, and she's asking me more. Yes, this works. So that's what you're doing when you're asking more questions. Second, you're getting more and more frustrated. So you're getting tangled up in her game. you're getting emotionally dysregulated and she's loving it because that's what she wanted in the first place. And third, you're giving her control over the conversation and therefore over you, because if she, by withdrawing information, you keep asking questions, she is actually leading the dance. She is leading where that conversation is going. By not answering, she's prompting you and you're following the impulse of asking more questions. So she is telling you, like not telling you, but she's making you go in the conversation where she wants to go. And therefore she's controlling you in that moment. So when you go instead, it's totally fine if you don't want to tell me. In fact, it's totally fine if you want to be quiet and you pull out a book to read, or you get busy doing what you came to do if you're visiting, for example, or you say bye if it was a phone call. Maybe a very short phone call, but that's okay. If she doesn't want to talk, if she doesn't want to answer, that's it. Show no interest in digging for information and be very mindful and selective of what you give as information about yourself. And you may say at this point that these are not the basis for great conversations to happen. And I get that. They're definitely not. No point in lying about this. But nor is being manipulated into needing to pull answers out of someone just to give them attention. Those are not basis for a good conversation either. That said, if it doesn't get you frustrated or upset, you can certainly play the game and ask. You know, once you're aware of it and you're like, okay, I know what she's doing, but you know what? They're simple questions and I don't really mind, so I'm going to ask anyway. And I'm just going to play the dance with her for a little bit. It's only a short visit. Maybe you're low contact and that's like the visit that you do once in a while, or the phone call that you do once in a while. So you're like, okay, I'm just going to do this. She's not wanting to answer, but I'm just going to give her the couple of questions that I know she wants me to ask. That's okay. Personally, I actually do that sometimes with some family members that are not as intense to deal with. There's, as I mentioned, there's different degrees of narcissism and narcissistic tendencies. So again, in some cases I can manage. In others, I know definitely not to do. It's like a death sentence. It's not a good idea and it's going to get me all over the place. No, 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 I'm not going to get tangled in that. But in other situations, I do that sometimes. Now, I have noticed how drained I feel at the end of the conversation, no matter how much awareness I bring to it. But that's me. So again, that depends on how... That depends on you. We're all different. We're all unique. We all go about it different ways. So don't take my experience as the only way to go about it or as truth, because it's not. That's just how it is for me. And again, even though I know that I can be drained afterwards, with some people, with some family members, I still choose to do that briefly for like short phone calls maybe. So again, you can do that. And it's totally up to you as to how much that gets you, again, upset, frustrated, dysregulated, and all of that afterwards. And how quickly also you can get back into feeling good afterwards. Because we know that if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that talking about self-regulating. So some situations are going to get us dysregulated and there's nothing we can do about that. That's going to happen. I mean, it's life. But how quickly can you get back into feeling good, you know, and being regulated about having your emotions good, having your view on life good, not wanting to lock yourself in your bedroom and cover yourself with a blanket, which is what I've felt plenty of times after conversations with my mother. So if that happens to you, I get it. But so far in general, like when I'm talking about the number one solution, showing no interest, so asking no further questions, has been so far the best solution I found. And often by doing that, in order to keep you engaged, you may find your mother actually starting to talk, especially if you give her nothing of yours to go on. So sometimes, in some cases, by just going, you know what? Yeah, if you don't want to tell me, that's totally fine. If you want to be quiet, I'm just going to sit here and be fine. I couldn't care less if you don't want to talk to me. All of a sudden, she'll start talk because, again, she wants to keep your attention. She wants to keep you engaged. So if you're actually not giving her the attention she wants, she's going to find another way to get it. And by being in control of how you give her that attention, you are now in control of the conversation instead of the other way around. Which is not to control your mother, but it's to protect yourself. So she tries to control you because she's trying to manipulate. You're not trying to manipulate. You're just trying to protect yourself from a manipulative behavior. So if she doesn't answer your questions and you ask no more questions, then she can go into something else. Maybe she can try to guilt trip you because you're not showing interest, and you can go, well, you know, I'm here if you want to tell me. So it's not like you're gone. I'm here, but it's your choice to tell me. And she can leave and get upset and make a scene and leave the conversation. Well, then again, it's her choice. You were available. She just chose not to, or she chose to get upset. That's okay too. That's allowed. That's her experience. You're having your experience and you are protecting yourself from behaviors that are toxic and not on. And I really know that there can be a sadness and a grief at the fact that you can't speak freely to your own mother because you have realized she can and possibly will use what you say against you somehow. But one doesn't just qualify as a confidant by maternal rights only. First and foremost, the person you confide into has to be safe to talk to. And that mightn't be your mother. If your mother has strong narcissistic tendencies, she's not a safe person to confide into. That's just simple as that. And I know, again, I know that there can be a sadness. And when there's waves of grief over that, let them come. Feel them, move through the grief. It's essential. I've been through it many times and I still go through it at times, definitely. But that's just, there's either feeling the grief, or the other way is not accepting this fact and actually feeling extremely drained and hurt every time that we try. And every time that we realize that, oh yeah, I confided that in her yesterday and today this is coming back at me some way, hurting me. Okay, that's not good. That's not good. And it really hurts every time. So, and I get that we fall into that trap many, 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 many times. I've done it for... oh my God, the best part of my life, like literally 30 plus years of telling my mother everything and regularly get hurt in return. So I get it. Now, the last thing to mention on this topic is that not asking is all well and good. But what if you actually need some information from your mother for practical reasons? Like, for example, you're shopping for her and you need to know what she needs. Or you need to know about her health as you may be her caregiver or one of her caregivers. So in these cases, only ask the questions you need answers to. Okay, don't, like, she'll try to lead you in asking questions that are totally unrelated and bringing you around in loops in the conversation without actually giving you the information that you really, really want. Okay. So only ask what you need answers to and then set your boundaries. If she tries to be secretive, if she tries not to give you the answers that you need, you go, okay, I need you to answer this question in order for me to take care of this for you, whatever this is. And then you give your consequence. If you don't answer, I will stop managing this for you and you'll need to find someone else to do it. And then you stick with that consequence. So if we're talking about, I gave you the example of going shopping for her. So if that's what you're doing. Maybe she just doesn't drive. Maybe she can't go out the house. Maybe she's not able to go shopping. That's okay. So you go shopping for her and she just doesn't. Every time you need to know what she needs, she just doesn't tell you. So it's like, I need you to answer this, or else you'll need to find someone else that does the shopping for you, because I ain't doing this anymore. And then there are other situations where you can just take, you do what you do, as in, I'm talking about the shopping. That is a very simple example. Again, this is very unique to each situation, so you need to feel into what's happening in your own personal situation. But one other solution is just go and get whatever. And if she doesn't approve of what you got, it's like, if you don't leave me a list, this is what I will do. I will go and get whatever I think you need. And that's that. And if you're not okay with that, then you can find someone else to do it. Again, always give a consequence with your boundaries. And again, if you haven't downloaded the roadmap to boundary setting, you can do that. There's always a link in the description of the episode so you can better set your boundaries and use that as a tool. In certain cases, like, for example, health can be a very delicate topic on this, because you may actually really absolutely need certain information on how she's feeling because you're caring for her. And again, it can be really hard to get it out of her. So it may be helpful to have others who can provide the information for you. So, you know, to have access to whatever doctors she's going to, or if there's some nurse or some other caregivers that are coming in, to make sure that you can talk to those people and get information that mightn't come from your mother if she's being secretive. Again, this very much depends on the situation, so I'm by no means I'm telling you what you should be doing. I'm just giving you different aspects of it and sort of different ways that you can go about it, but this is very private and personal. So this would be more something that if we were working one-on-one, we could talk more into specific, but like that, I'm just staying general. So feel into the situation. Again, you can share in the comments if this is something that you have experienced, if secrecy is something you've experienced with your narcissistic mother, if you had never heard of it before and you had never considered it, that's okay too. You can share that. And if you have any questions and reflections on this, as always, you can share, or you can send me an email at mathilde@womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. And in the next episode, I am going to talk about secrecy, part two. I'll talk about how this can be used for projecting an image of public perfection and to isolate you from others. So stay tuned for that. And also, there is a special episode coming up this Thursday with a special guest. She's a returning guest, Antoinette McQueenie. She's coming back talking about, again, the wonderful world of hormones, women and hormones, and how we didn't get any of this information from our narcissistic mothers. We probably have been shamed and on it and all of that. So it's a really, really, really important topic. I am so looking forward to share this with you. It was an amazing conversation to record together with Antoinette. So stay tuned for that. And again, don't forget to sign up to the newsletter. The link is in the description of this episode if you want to know more about the upcoming membership offering that I'm working on and that I'm so excited to start introducing to you. So I will talk about it in the emails, in the newsletter. So sign up if you're not already. Okay, with that, I'm going to wish you a wonderful week and send you lots of love. Bye for now.